Joshua is the side, and who you see that? you say it's gonna rain. It does. You follow? Now, don't you see this veil that this blue purple and sky blue? And you take that sky up, and he'll send you into heaven. Okay. Look, I do mean what is he that send you? Straight. You can go around the corner. No doubt. Nice stadium. But it wasn't really good. Okay. Now we debated, we talked, we discussed about this baby. See, so you go in here, okay, on this side. Now here's the reason why it was talk. Then he went in on the left hand side of the cup. Now here's why. So, and I said, no, the right hand. And come out here. But now here's why they say the right hand or the left hand side. It's because the little dirt, now you look now, because we just learned, the little dirt is, now this is the Sea of Galilee. Or the net. This line coming down to the net. See? And into this part of the water. This is the salt sea. Or called the Dead Sea. And so this is good one. I stay on that. Now, where it is right, they went up around this way. And this would be the right hand side. See? And then they crossed through here. Now, what did you do that? Now, you see, this is a really good line down this way. It does not run. Now somebody wants to start something. See, that's the way the veil is in the tabernacle. According to the way the veil is in the tabernacle, it is that way. Just like that. See? Now look, you're going to have to read some too. And I want to show you what I am talking about. So you know what I'm talking about. See? Now look, see, that river, good, that runs down this way, runs down this way, I talk here, it's running down this way, okay. And on this side of the river, and on this side, the city of life. Now, take time to sit in this time, and it's a stop. Now, the reason why it's this way, and that is the way it is here. In the microphone. Now, here's what? Now, you stand up. See? Now, we got a rocket here. And almost got it under us, too. Now, from your head, right down, through the spinal column. There's a spinal fluid in that. And I'm almost running down, right? And that spinal fluid coming down from the head, see, and going down through the spine. And on each side of the spine, you have 24 ribs. See?
Are you listening? Now, I want you to get over there in Revelation.
And he showed me.
And he showed me.
A pure river of water of life.
He showed me a pure river of water of life.
Clear as crystal.
Clear as a crystal.
Proceeding out of the throne of Yahweh.
Whoa, hold it. Hold it. Hold it. So you remember this fire flow that went right down in the isn't that almost like that?
Right.
You said it's proceeded out of the throne. Now you have the throne up here. But then it's proceeded out from the throne. Oh, just like we have the ark of the covenant here. As the mercy seat of the throne. And it's proceeded out from there. See? And it runs where? Proceeded out
of the throne of Yahweh and of the land.
And of the land.
In the midst of the street of it.
Not in the midst of the street of it.
And on either side of
it. And on either side of your final thought.
Was there the tree of life?
Say, was the tree of life.
Which bare 12 mallets of fruit.
That's right. The faith. Now that's it. See, your brain is an allegory to your heart. Now these things, like these kids in bed and this, they're allegories. You see? Now when you find that, if you lose the good, you lose the meat. The fourth chapter of your life. Now I am a good friend. Right. Okay. Now, is there any question? Now, don't you forget now. Don't you forget. I told you. And you just wait. It flowed out. The river flowed out from that point. Just very nice. And this final fluid that in your spinal cord, this distraction sometimes passes. If they think there's a cup or something like that in it. Right, am I right, God?
That's correct.
See? Joy. And it's as clear as a crystal. See? Now you got some water coming from somewhere else too. Mm-hmm. Out of the blood. Okay. It's not the way it is.
All right.
No, no. I said if you have some water running from somewhere else, it's right out of the throne. It's coming out of the blood. And it's not the way it is.
Right.
Not that far. Talking about yours. It's wonderful when we really understand what it's all about. Now look, folks. Now this location of heaven. Location. We want to say it this way, that way. Now there's one. How much time is all that? Am I over now? Don't let me go. I'm gonna say something. You're saying nothing. Now he said he's saying nothing. But I say this. See, Joshua took them all over in the Canaan. And after 40 years conquest of Canaan, there. Tabernacle was in the house of who? Of them. How long? 20 years. And then, when he got that situation fair, he said it out there. Say, where?
Mount Zion.
Mount Zion. Mm-hmm. See? Now Shechem and Mount Zion and Mount Moriah, it's hard for them to determine. See?
geographical location.
Right? Not check, not done, not right.
Oh,
it's in that mountain.
Oh,
see, on this side of the river, this tabernacle is on this side of the river. Now, on this side of the river, up here, in the heavenly part, we have this earth, the body. Just like you said, that earth is happening. But it's got to come. Then it's got to be moved into this. But, see? Okay. Now this too, has got to come down. Mm-hmm. John said he didn't see no tent.
Today's session will be our international
president, Dr. Gary Manning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Now, I am extremely pleased and happy to have an opportunity to have something to say. They're trying to get me a voice here, so when I decide to take off, I can. Everybody hear me now? Okay. As I started off, I said, I'm extremely happy to have the opportunity to address, and I'll just say, an august body such as this, because we, right here in this room, there's a bunch of people sitting around here who are blessed beyond what they even imagine. Even though it hasn't entered into your own imagination where you sit and what you represent out here in the world today, there's, I don't know how many billion they're counting now, 5 I believe it is, in the world at large out here now. There's a group sitting right here in this room that's the leadership of the world to deliver the word of Yahweh to them. Now, I know there's some in here that might just have a little controversy with another or what have you. But I say this to you. You didn't know enough to be controversial until you met a man.
That's right.
You didn't know how to ask a question until you met a man. There was a man that came down here at the end of this age, and he delivered a vision and a revelation direct from the Father himself. Whether or not it's become conscious to you or not, that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. Now, he delivered that. He gave it to every one of us. And every one of us has an equal opportunity to understand it and see it as it really is, because we say it every time we open this class, to help you find and know Yahweh as He really is and as He actually exists. Now, that doesn't puff you up, or that doesn't puff me up. That puts you right down on the ground, just right along with the rest of us. And you are not set in any privileged position over anybody else except that you know Yahweh. That's the only thing that's going to set any of us apart, is that we come to know our Heavenly Father as He really is and as He actually exists. Now, if you came to this meeting with any thought in mind that you were going to receive something new, April Fool. I thought there was going to be some esoteric secrets revealed here. April Fool. Because there are nothing. He said when he left us, he said, look, I gave you everything that there is. I didn't hold nothing back. All that the Father gave me, I gave you. Now, I know there's some differences. There's some little things that some are saying this and some are saying that. But those things all go according to a very definite Yahweh pattern. And there's no reason for us to have those differences, because there's a pattern in existence which answers every question. I don't care what it is or who it comes from. The devil himself, in his red suit and pitchfork, can come right down that aisle, and he's going to have to go according to that same pattern. And so I don't know what your problem is. Is you got a problem with this? You're going to have to do something with it, because that pattern is the key. It's the thing that we're going to have to use if we're going to come to any understanding of Yahweh and His purpose. So that's all He gave. He gave that pattern. He said, now you use it, and it'll work. There's no way for us to miss out if we use the pattern. But you know what the problem is? Yahweh, and I don't know who it was, I think it was Pat, brought this out in Los Angeles one time. He said, Yahweh is an enigma. Now that enigma is contained in a riddle, and it's hidden in a mystery. So you've got yourself a problem if you try to figure it out with your carnal mind or your concepts. You're going to get yourself mixed up in it, and you've really got yourself a mess. You've got a problem on your hand. Now you notice that with things like that, the enigma hidden in a riddle, contained in a riddle and hidden in a mystery. You know, you bring that on down, look at it. See, Yahweh is abstract. Now that's contained in the intermediate state, but it's hidden in the physical. The only way you're going to get it out, as He's told us, is to look into the physical things, or Romans 1:19 and 20. Now those are not complicated things. Those are simple things. And live them simple, and they'll help you. Now, there's just a couple of administrative things I want to get out of the way here before we get this thing kicked off real good here for the next couple of days. All of you deans have received an administrative guide. There was a letter accompanying that guide. And it was telling you that was the property of your branch, first of all. That's not your personal property. It has to be utilized in your branch. Now let's just say, for example, that you leave your branch and go someplace else, you leave that book behind. That's not your personal property. That's the branch's book. And there's also going to be some inserts, corrections, and updates coming along to you as we progress along, because of addresses, telephone numbers, what have you, is going to change. Now if you make copies of it, which you're encouraged to do if you need them, but make sure you keep track of how many copies you're going to need, because these inserts and these corrections are going to come to you, and we're only going to send you what we've given you was one or two. So you have to make your own copies in that case. So just remember that guide is not your personal property, but that's to remain with your branch. And the other officers in your branch is probably going to get a lot of use out of that. So let them have it. Let them see it. And I'm saying those things because we've got reports back that they're being hoarded, not being spread out, not being shared with the rest of the officers in the branch. So put it out there so it can help everybody. And there's some here, and I know we've run across one so far that didn't get a copy. Now, if you didn't get a copy, give your name and what have you to Pat Mathis, the National Superintendent, who will, in turn, make sure that you get one. There's five copies available here at this meeting. Now, that kind of takes care of any of the business that might be out there. And if any of you have really looked at the agenda, questions came in from all over. Some of you didn't send any in, some area sent the same questions in. And others, you know, sent their questions. Some of them were very profound, very good questions. Others, you look at them and think, well, anyway, I don't want to delve off into that. But you see, if you looked at the agenda that came back to you, the purpose is not to answer your question. Because answer your question and all you're going to do is gender another question. And you'll never get, you know that's true because that's what's happened over the years. Answer the question and you're going to have another question. So, just if you've got a hungry man out there, you can give him a dollar and he can get himself a hamburger if you go out with him. But if you teach the man how to fend for himself, he can feed himself from forevermore.
That's right.
And that's what this agenda is designed to do. Now, we was all out here in ignorance. Every one of you, before you came in touch with this man, you were just as ignorant as you could be. And then one day, 1931, Yahweh decided or chose to give a vision to a man, as I've already mentioned here. Now that vision, see, in 1931, Dr. Kinley received this vision and revelation. And as he received of it, as he's written in his pamphlet of the panoramic vision, it was asked of him, man, what will you do with what I've given you? And he said, teach your people Yahshua. So it was Yahshua that was giving him that vision in the first place. This was in 1931. So just looked at the purpose of Yahweh. All of us being groping around here in darkness, just like we've got the darkness painted across the bottom of this chart. You know, this is darkness down here, representing down in Egypt. Everybody is in darkness. But in 1931, here at the Red Sea, the people were brought up here out of darkness, brought out here into the wilderness, but nevertheless up out of that darkness with an opportunity out there to see that out here now those things were given to these people. They were, Moses is carried up here into Mount Sinai, is given a tabernacle to build. In other words, there was things that was presented to them here in the wilderness, but they were still wandering around here for some 40 years out here in the wilderness, even though they built the pattern, they carried this tabernacle with them, and they was bitten by serpents, you know, all the hazards that was here. Now that was a 40-year period of time in here. So from 1931 up to 1971, and we're looking at the timeliness of what Yahweh has done. Right there at that point is where Dr. Kinley himself took a group of people up to Big Bear Mountain, and right up here, just, you flew over coming in, most of you. And he said, and he asked the question, what is the purpose of Yahweh? Now a whole bunch of us sitting around trying to answer that question. What is the purpose of Yahweh? Well, we did pretty good. We wore out Ephesians 1, it was 1:9. Together in one, all things in the Messiah. Now you can go back here and show how the temple was built, and everything was gathered out of heaven. They had some of the Canaanites and what have you in here, and then the Israel was brought up out of the earth. So you gathered all of heaven and all of earth. And there was a temple, a court of the Jews and a court of the Gentiles here. So you show the type back here. And Ephesians 1:9, you know, we just wear that out and then run the types in here. And after it was all said and done, Dr. Kinley made the statement like this. He said, well, you did a pretty good job, but... And then he went on to expound upon the purpose of Yahweh. And the profound thing is this. He said, unless you know the purpose of Yahweh, you cannot be saved. Now, did you hear what I said? Now, there was silence in the room when he said it, just like there was silence in here just now. He said, unless you know the purpose of Yahweh, you cannot be saved. Now, folks, that is very important. I mean, that's what we're down here for, is for our own soul salvation. And unless you know the purpose of Yahweh, you cannot be saved. Now, you're just like any son out here in the world knows his father's business. Now you're going to have to know the purpose of Yahweh in order to be saved. Now, see, this took place in 1971. See, the timeliness of what was happening, see, even that was going according to the pattern. Going how it comes up out of Egypt, through the divided waters of the Red Sea. Or the Red Sea. Let's just look at the Red Sea. See, here the man came down. Adam means the red earth. That was the physical man. That's what it represents, is that red man, or the sea of mankind. The Red Sea. And that sea is divided, or that carnal mind. You're coming up out of that. Coming up out here into the courtroom, or the holy place, in an area where you can have something, you can know something out here. You can learn something out here. Why? Because he gave you a key. He gave you a pattern. He gave you a way. Down here in Egypt, there was God's men. I mean, you've got Protestant churches and you've got Catholic churches. I'm looking at Egypt out here, the thing that we got out here. That's all, that's Egypt. But we have to come up out of that, out here into the wilderness. And while you're out here in this area, then he gives us the pattern and all this. And what we do is, see, we take the pattern and he puts it out here on the charts that we all use in all of the branches out here. And he laid it all out according to the pattern. Everything that you have is laid out according to the pattern. Now this pattern has as we all know, the seven levels in the pattern, the principles of the blood, water, spirit that's laid down here in the pattern, and coming out here into your holy place, showing the vessels that are in here. And we all know that we have to line all that up. You know, line upon line and precept upon precept. Now, the founders came along and we had a chart sitting way over there in the corner someplace. But that one is front center. Because that one is 1933 chart. And the founder said this is a copy of that one. Now that's the original one over there. That's over in the corner. We can't feed on it anymore because it'll fall apart if you do. But now this one. And he said, now this chart right here, he said, now this is the one. I thought this was enough. He had it made on a bed sheet. That one that's over there now. He had it made on a bed sheet. And he said, now I thought this one would be enough. But what he did, he showed how that everything, the types and the shadows and examples and what we used to call stories of the Bible. Now we know these are events that took place in the Bible to bring out a purpose, or to identify our Savior, Yahshua, the Messiah. Now, he took all these events, and he laid them all out according to a pattern. Now, you've never seen anything like this before in your life until you walked in this school and read across this man. You've never seen anything like that. Now, and then we get up here today, and some have gone on out of here and tried to get above this. And you know that's... And don't let me get off on any of that stuff. That's not what we're here for. You see, he laid it all out according to a pattern. And that pattern, you know, he said he thought this was enough. Romans 1:19 and 20 says you look at the physical thing. So he had a physical man and a woman in the garden. And there was an angel up there. Look at these physical things, but understand the invisible principles. Is that what we do in Romans 1:19 and 20? He said, well, this would be enough. But people begin to ask questions. Well, what happened before the Garden of Eden? In other words, there was no understanding yet of these principles. So he had to go on and he says, I made this chart. That's why this one is series number one. Elohim, the archetype, original pattern of the universe. In other words, the 40 plate chart, I saw Freddie look around for it there, and it's not here, unfortunately, because see, that's series number two. He even expounded even a little bit more. I've always looked back to think, well, when the series number one, you know, you could say, well, this is the angelic. And series number two, well, that's drawing it on out a little bit farther. That's in the flesh or in the physical. And what he done, he just set it all out here on the chart to show you that these physical things back here represented spirit things, spirit principles. Now he put a 40 plate chart at the fall of Adam. He put the fall of Lucifer right here, 4:14, to show that Lucifer was the direct cause of this fall. Or these physical things could be looked at to understand these invisible principles. So you got the principles laid down here to help you understand. But see, in the Garden of Eden, carrying it, what he did. Now, folks, if there was ever anything that takes you back and lets you understand what that was and who that was that walked among us, and it's not going to do you any good to see it in Dr. E.C. Kinley, oh, that's already passed off the scene for 18 years. It's not going to do any good for you to see it there. You're going to have to see it carried on over here. Not only did he pick up Adam and Eve here on the chart, he picked it up right here on this chart, and he carried us right on back into the mind of Yahweh himself, or back into the realm of eternity. Now, not only was there nobody present to write what happened over here in the garden, who was present to write what happened back here in the realm of eternity? And Yahweh would tell you all the time, well, nobody knows the purpose of Yahweh, but Yahweh himself. Then he would turn right around and just right over your head. You say, well, not mine. Oh, yes, it went over yours too, just like it went over the rest of us. How do I know? Because he said it did. And I know he hasn't said anything that hasn't been true to date. But whatever he said, you can just count on it. That's the way it is. But he carried you right back into the mind of Yahweh. Now, I don't even like to use that word mind, because he would caution us that mind is subject to change. This is carried back into the pure spirit state of Yahweh. And you can't talk about the purpose of Yahweh unless you talk about this angelic creation that was back here, because it's just as much a part of it as you are. And he didn't create the angels back here as some oddball thing that we'll just leave back here, and then we'll make a physical creation and leave them back here someplace. No, it's not that way. See, when he came back and showed, when he created angelic creation, and he created physical creation. And you can see the line here. Now, this is meaning there's no time in eternity. This is the creation abides within Yahweh for eternity. This whole cloud goes around this chart too, and there is no time in eternity. Now, you can place time in eternity, but you can't place eternity in time. Now, I didn't make that up. That's what I was taught. That's what he said. Now, what he did, he bailed it out for us. He said, now, he had a creative age. He had an antediluvian age. He had a postdiluvian age. And coming in here for the first time, I was able to see that Yahweh did have something working. There was a reason. There was a semblance for this thing out here, not just haphazardly happening, as I was being led to believe out here in the world, telling me I got to get water baptized, I got to do all these things, and then someone comes along, and as they said to the founder one time, well, I've been a good woman all my life, or I've been a good man all my life. What he said, well, that's good. That's exactly what you should have been. Right. Now, let's go learn something about the purpose of your Savior and inherit eternal life too. Because see, now, being a good person is not what it's all about. You're going to have to come to know Yahweh. And if you don't come to that knowledge, I'm sorry, there is no salvation. Now, that's just as cut and dry as we can put it. And you're going to have to come. You're not going to be able to get up to the pearly gates with St. Peter and say, boy, if I had just known about this one thing here, I would have, and then be able to slip through. You're not going to be able to do that. You're either going to be in the knowledge, you're going to have what's necessary when you get there, you're going to have this badge to get in. Now, that's what it's all about. You're going to have this badge to get in. In other words, there's going to have to be something there. But see, when you look at what he did when he drew this chart out, I believe it is in 1 Timothy 2:15 where you rightly divide the word of truth. Is that right? Somebody read that word. Thank you. 2 Timothy 2:15.
Study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth.
Now, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, who would say this? Well, that's taking the Bible.
They said, rightly dividing the word of truth. Read that again for me.
Study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh.
Study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh. Read.
A workman that needeth not to be ashamed.
See, this workman that needs not to be ashamed. Read.
Rightly dividing the word of truth.
Now, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, we pick up the Bible. Now, I'm going back to where I came into this class and heard that statement. And I'm rightly dividing the word of truth, so I'll be rightly dividing up the Bible. I'll understand the things of the Bible. I'll take and I'll put the post or the pre-exile prophets. The post-exile prophets. And I'll get them all. And you know, they did it in the Schofield Bible. They got it all divided out there and put those in their proper places. But no, that's not what he's talking about. See, the word of truth is right here, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, when Yahweh in his pure spirit state within this state, see, he chose to make a creation. And in that creation, he put everything that he was going to have in his creation, angelic and physical, invisible and visible, everything, leaving out nothing. He put it and purposed it within his Son. Everything was in that Son. That's Yahweh Elohim. Now when he moved into this super corporeal form, that was the conception, or he conceived the whole of the physical creation. In other words, that physical creation was just at that point, boom, it was put into motion. He's bringing this whole thing in. In other words, he, from this pure spirit state, he purposed the whole thing right within himself. And he demonstrated it here in this super incorporeal being. Now, Yahweh, as the founder's words again, put on his work clothes and he went to work. That's the, now, when he quit, and this time when he made the creation, that was complete right there in his Son. Everything that was to be, the sun, the moon, the stars, you and me and everybody else included, was complete in him. Everything was complete. Now, knowing that Moses or you and I or any, as Moses is the one up here, could not understand him or receive him in this form. That's a super, not an incorporeal, that's a super incorporeal form. Now it's super, not incorporeal, super incorporeal. This one here stands out above all the angels and everything else. In fact, if you go back into Doc's textbook there, and I believe it's the exegetical analysis where a lot of people are hung up behind that one, he said that he contained male and female genitive organs. You ready to read that? Parens, the space of the universe, which everything abides. That's his genitals, folks. Now, how big is he? What kind of a form are we? What kind of a man are we talking about? Like this little thing here. No, you're not even a drop in the bucket, not even a speck of dust on the seashore compared to this one here, because everything was contained in this one here. Now, in his purpose, and when he moved into this super incorporeal form, now they're justifying the negativity in Elohim by looking at the negativity that's out here in the world and saying, well, it all came out of him, so if it's negative here, it must be negative here. No. Now, when that happened, Founder went to work. That's when I remember him going to work. He really went to work. He wanted to show you something. No, that's not the way it is. He said, when Yahweh Elohim, when he moved into this shape and form right here, you know, that was the entire purpose of Yahweh all wrapped up here in this bodily form. And then he moved into this super incorporeal form of the tabernacle pattern, or the intangible tabernacle pattern. And it said, now you make me one down here exactly as the one that was made up there. Make it so that I can dwell among my people. Now that's what he was doing, making a tabernacle that he could dwell among his people. Now when he took on this shape and form, he was in this state. I said everything is within Yahweh Elohim. Now when he brings forth the physical creation, what he did, now I'm going to show you, I'm going to demonstrate this. He stood up here like, see, this is pure spirit. And he reached back here and he got him a handful. And he molded that up into one day. And he said, now, that'll be the first day. And he put it up there. Now, does that make sense? No, that don't make sense. And you know it doesn't make sense. You know darn well it don't make sense. Now, what he did, he willed it into existence. He said, Asher, Ayah. Or in that one instant, everything as it is came down through that veil, between visibility and invisibility, and everything stood fast. Just like that. Now, folks, you've got to have to understand that, because that's the way it's going back. In that instant, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, it's going to be over. You're going to be walking along to see that crack right there on the floor. As you're walking along, one day, all of a sudden, as you lift your foot, that instant, when you put your foot down, you're going to be walking in eternity. Now let's just take a little, just a case for example before I get back up there. Let's just say that you've taken and you've got all the education in the world, got the offer. You've got your PhD, you've got your master's, you've got all of it. But that gets you along in this world, doesn't it? Gets you along in this world. Now when the universal revelation of Joshua the Messiah comes, all of a sudden you're walking in a world with a master's, and there's nothing there. And you look around you and it's just like, boy, where did it go? All that you learned is gone. It's been changed. Now it's spiritual. It's no longer physical. You've lost your soul. But you're just like a homeless man.